The debate about disclosure, consent, and platform power have become newly invigorated with the rise of AI. Now, recently, you might not know this, I didn't know this, but YouTube made a controversial decision to use AI-powered tools to unblur, denoise, and improve clarity on certain videos on their website without the consent of the creators or even their viewers. So, that's a bit weird. What's going on here? Is this a problem? Is this an issue? What are the ethical legal distinctions here that YouTube is doing? Well, joining us this morning is Timothy Koski, postdoctoral researcher at the School of Media and Communications at the University of Sydney, joining me in the studio today to talk all about this latest policy change at YouTube. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. How are you this morning?
Well, it's very lovely to be here on this gorgeous and sunny day in Sydney.
Yeah.
Feeling good.
Yeah, you've come in and you're relatively dry, so you're doing pretty good so far. So, Tim, this AI upscaling sort of thing YouTube is doing, where has this come from? Why have they suddenly made this change?
Well, it's coming on the back of a pretty solid history across media, not just in YouTube channels. TikTok only very recently was engaged in similar behavior with the people that were creating content for their platform.
Right.
So there's a good backing to it. One of the things I would note about their particular choice is that they've claimed it's not artificial intelligence, it's not AI-generated material, but rather that it's machine learning. But Google, obviously associated with YouTube's own platform, has said machine learning is a subcategory of AI. So that was an odd statement for them to make. But they've decided, as your phone may have decided, that reality is a little too messy. And so when we try to capture that with our own tools, it can come across as less desirable than YouTube would like it to be. There's a little bit of background with that where, for instance, photos uploaded to Flickr that are edited for these kinds of things, they get more engagement. And YouTube wants more engagement, obviously. You want more engagement. Everybody wants more engagement. So that's kind of the backing that they've come through. I think that's their reasoning. And as I said, it has a solid basis in history.
What are some of the examples, let's say, in maybe YouTube's, or maybe we can extrapolate to TikTok as well. What kind of stuff are they doing to your content that you put up there? What kind of manipulations and editing are they doing?
Well, they've been called out on this. A couple of fairly prominent YouTubers, one of the bigger ones, according to the BBC content that you should have a look at. They've talked to these people individually. Got about 500,000 views. Basically, they found that, for instance, your jawline's maybe a little bit too... it's not nice. You know, you've got some pimples. Who wants those? So shaving those off algorithmically. And it actually took quite a bit of work for some of these YouTubers to find the difference. They just sort of... had that uncanny valley sense of, oh, that doesn't look exactly like me. What is going on? So it's that level of subtle in many cases. Now, since they were called out by these videos, I'd be surprised if they continued this practice without disclosure or consent.
Right.
I guess I would be surprised. I don't know how surprised I would be. But it's important to note that when we've signed off all of these terms and conditions, in a kind of a trap, because we often don't have much of a choice. If we want to go see things, if we want to find out what the weather is like, we have to click through accept cookies, terms and conditions. But we may have signed away our ability to say anything about this in particular. But it's not a great look, is it?
No, especially if they're adjusting my incredible jawline. You know,
it's an amazing jawline. It really is.
It's sharp enough. I don't need YouTube coming in here to make it that much more prickly. Why would some companies use this AI or machine learning technology without disclosing it? What's going on there?
Well, because they have a really good history backing them up. I mean, GQ magazine airbrushed Kate Winslet's waist to be more attractive for their cover. They didn't ask Kate Winslet, and they certainly didn't tell us. Nine News recently had an issue with a Victorian MP Purcell, where they claimed that they've extrapolated an image that they had to get a fuller shot for their image, and this is somebody who came from a particular political party that they've added a midriff. They've made some changes there, and they said this was the AI doing it. But if that were the case or not, they didn't tell the viewers that they used that AI. So YouTube is coming in at a space that's well populated. It's already
right.
They're just sort of joining a party that's already well underway. As to whether or not that's something we want. I don't necessarily know that it's not something we want. We've actually come to the point where if you ask people, they'll assume that any sort of a beauty Instagrammer or even just a famous face, they assume there's a beauty filter on there. So we've come to widely accept it. That doesn't make it not a controversial decision.
Right.
But it is a well-trodden road. Mm.
Yeah, YouTube is not being a trailblazer here. They're joining a party that's been going on for a while. YouTube's non-consensual video editing. This is likely within their legal rights as a platform, right? Could you explain a little bit about, you know, where our content kind of sits within their platform, what they're allowed to kind of do with it? And are there maybe any laws in Australia or in the US that gives a little bit more protection to us as uploaders of content onto these platforms?
That, I think, is probably the key issue here, something that we need to think about how we interact with these platforms, because most of us are uploading content to these platforms to engage with the community or for whatever reason that you're putting up that content for no money at all.
Right.
Something like 97% of YouTube commenters at one count, I'm not sure what the current count is, of the content uploaders receive no money at all. Something like, I think it was under 1% receive a substantive amount of money, which is maybe above minimum wage, for instance.
Yeah.
So when you think about YouTube, one of the ways to think about it is sort of a graveyard of content that never gets seen by anyone. That is the wildly vast majority of it.
Right.
So when we engage with that, we put that that material, quite often personal, private material, up on that platform. It's important for us to understand, as shown by TikTok, as shown by YouTube, that we don't own it. It's not ours. It doesn't necessarily go to the ether, though often that is the case. But it very often leaves our hands completely, and people can do with it what they will. That's one side of the concern, especially for people that are conscious of how they're being portrayed, and I think that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
But there's another aspect, and this came out especially with the TikTok case, where and this also came out again with the 90s magazines and these sort of thing, is that when we're exposed to these images of people that do not look like that, and those become a social standard, for example, for beauty or for presentability or the way we present ourselves in a professional setting, and it's literally unattainable, and that's why we needed the editing software, that's going to have some implications for our mental health. And that has been borne out by research, but that especially even goofy filters on TikTok, which there are many, even goofy filters will leave people with a worse self-impression, for whatever reason, it's to do with things like the uncanny valley and identifying fake material. I think that is something that we need to think about when we're looking at these materials, when we're basing so much of our entertainment in our day on these materials. Yes, on the one hand, you're losing the grip on your own material, but when you see that, maybe you're kind of losing a little bit of a sense of what people are like and how we interact with each other because of those interactions.
So we're uploading a lot of the times in, you know, the spirit of just passion, of you want to connect and enjoy. But in terms of your legal protection or what rights are given to you about how that content you've created that goes on the platform, there is maybe not as much as you would think that protects you. It essentially is the platform's content now, once you give it up. Are there any sort of legislation or laws that are kind of moving more in a direction of, you know, a bit of a Magna Carta for user rights on platforms?
I think we're having a moment. I don't necessarily think that that Australia's the number one pusher here, but we do have an amazing ability to set the agenda in terms of how it's discussed, despite our comparatively small size. The other groups being, for example, the European Union, which when Albanese was discussing, for instance, the age verification law, got them on the phone and said, thank you for putting this forward. They're putting through their own material to discuss how consent is given for this material, who is allowed to use this material, who is allowed to see this material, whether or not that has teeth. In the current political environment, particularly with the United States acting in this space, I would say belligerently, acting for on behalf of platforms belligerently, that erodes our ability to do things about it. But as I said, that is sort of being balanced with an increasing appetite to try. I think is an absolutely amazing thing that we didn't see so much with social media until basically until COVID.
We
didn't see much going on.
It's been
a
Wild West most of the time.
Yeah. And I think that maybe of all the wonderful things COVID did for us, I think one thing that did happen during COVID is more of an assessment of, hey, how much do we want these social media platforms to do whatever they like?
Yes.
And that's a conversation that was started in Korea, in Europe, and in Australia in quite dramatic ways. So that is a neat outcome of an absolutely apocalyptically bad situation that hopefully we can carry forward. But as I said, it's hitting quite troubled waters globally.
Tim, we've only got a very short amount of time left, but the last question I'll ask is there any way for us to become a bit more aware of, you know, this type of misinformation or that that companies are using AI? Is there any way for us to kind of get out in front of them before they're forced to admit it under pressure, or is this going to be a repeating pattern?
I think it's definitely the case that we should be talking to groups like the ACCC or the ACMA, authorities that have some oversight over our media, to discuss what's available for some pushback against it. But then I think part of this is ultimately, unfortunately, going to land on us to say, hey, I need to be careful of my sources because this stuff's out there. I can't necessarily account for it. I can't control for it. But I can sort of say, hey, this guy over here with this very handsome jawline, he seems very trustworthy.
Yes.
And I have good reason to trust him. He has a good reason to know what's going on, as opposed to, wait, hey, the algorithms kicked this over for me. Oh, hey, look at that. Look at that. That person has a nice jawline. I'm going to look at that video. Just be careful about those sources. That's really the only thing we have as people to encounter it.
Okay, well, yeah, stay safe when you're online. Stay safe. Tim, that is all the time we've got today, but thank you so much for coming into the studio. Check everything about YouTube, AI, image software, and our rights online.
Thank you very much. It was a nice time.
That was Tim Koski, postdoctoral researcher at the School of Media and Communications at the University of Sydney, joining us to talk about AI image editing and the lack of disclosure between companies and people.